turn this morning to the last message in this series, which is Lest We Forget the God We Worship. As we do, we return back to the commandments, but instead of looking at the fourth commandment in particular, we'll have a look at the first three into the fourth, and why it makes sense that they were written that way. The moment God says, I am the Lord your God, should strike a chord with each and every one of us. God is declaring something. The Ten Commandments begin with, I am the Lord your God, but it raises quite an important question. And that is, how do we actually know that God is our God? God says, I am the Lord your God. How do we actually get to find out that God is our God? God is saying here, I am the Lord your God. In other words, it's a declaration. God is telling you that he is your God. And why does he have to tell us? Well, quite simply because you couldn't find it out on your own. The only way you can know that God is God is if God decides to reveal that to you. So the very fact that you hear those few words, I am the Lord your God, it is the most gracious words that you could ever hear. Everything should start flooding to your mind the moment you hear those words, I am the Lord your God. Forgiveness, grace, mercy, a future, a hope, a position in God's kingdom. You see, it's not just I am the Lord your God, let's move on to the next thing. No, there's so much more being said here. I am the Lord your God, he says to his people. So God has to reveal himself in order for anybody to know him. God has to make himself known to us in order for us to know him even personally. But this raises quite an important question. And that is, now that you know him, how do you relate to him? It seems to me that in the church that there are not just different Christians, but there seems to be a different way of living Christianity. Now that's puzzling. I can understand how there can be different Christians because there are different personalities, there are different characters. I struggle with how there can be different versions of Christianity. And the answer is, there can't be. We're individual, yes. We have our own personality, yes. We have our own character, yes. But it is the same God. And therefore, it must be the same type of Christianity. In other words, either our relationship with God is the same, or it isn't. And if it isn't, then the only distinction is either you're with God or you're not with God. There doesn't seem to be many differences. The Ten Commandments help us to understand how we are to relate to God. Don't think of them as an impersonal standard. Don't think of them as a list of laws. Think of them rather as a means of understanding how you are to relate to the Almighty. Think of them as these are sort of the ground rules or even the marriage rules for understanding your relationship with God. God is holy, and that means he's different than you. He's different from you. He's different from any single one of us. But his holiness is something that he wants us to participate in. He made this day holy so that we could participate in this day with him. He set this day apart so that we could participate in this day with him. Do you want to do something else? Do you want to be somewhere else? Well, that's a test of your relationship with God, isn't it? It's not about whether or not you can keep a law. It may come across like that, but actually it's more to do with the fact your relationship's being tested. How is your relationship with God? In other words, the Ten Commandments are are deeply personal. They're intrusive into your relationship with God. They are not a set of rules as such, a set of laws as such. They go much, much deeper than that. So are we to have a relationship with God? Yes, we're to have a relationship with God. But God is so different from us in so many different ways. How are we to relate to him? Well, God says there is one way in particular, and that is, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is the joiner between you and God. Yeah, there are certain things about God that will never be true about you, and there are certain things that are true about you that will never be true about God. But holiness is something that you will come to share in as your relationship with God grows. In other words, you can only be holy by belonging to God. And God says, this day is holy. Now, why is this day holy and tomorrow not? We see, why was the ground that Moses walked on holy when the ground that he walked on to get to that point was not holy? I think there's only one answer to it, and that is God makes it holy. Why is it holy? But it still doesn't answer it. God makes it holy because that's where his presence is. His presence was in the burning bush as Moses spoke to God. His presence was not necessarily as such as Moses made his way up there, but the moment he came into the presence of God, the place became holy. Why is this day holy? Well, what do you think God is saying to us by making this day holy? Well, what do you think God is trying to communicate or is communicating? Is it not that his presence here on this day is unlike any other day? That's why he set it apart. That's why he made it holy. In other words, your relationship with God today will differ from your relationship with God tomorrow. It won't be the same because you don't have the time to make it the same. This time has been set apart. It's been made holy by God. So here's how you ought to think of the Ten Commandments, at least the first four in particular. How to keep your relationship with God healthy. What a healthy relationship with God looks like. Or rather, what a faithful relationship with God looks like. So when you break one of God's commandments, let's say the Sabbath day, don't look at it as breaking an impersonal law. Look at it as being unfaithful in a relationship. That's the point. The point here is not I just break one of God's rules and I'm going to get a slap over the hand for it. It's much more serious than that. You're in a relationship with God and God wants to keep that relationship together. So spend time with him. Be where he is. Do the things that he wants to do with you. Don't think of it as, I'm going to get a slap over the hand because, you know, I've broken a law. That's impersonal. That's like an impersonal standard. These are relationship issues. This is what God wants you to understand. The Ten Commandments, the first four in particular, is about how to maintain a faithful relationship. The fourth day in particular, the reason to keep this day holy, well, it's a bit like spending time with God because in the rest of the week, you can't do it in the same type of way. And God knows that. That's why he only asked for one day rather than six. God knows that he's given you stuff to get on with. God knows you have to live in this world. But God also knows you need the closeness, you need the intimacy of a relationship with God. It's like I said a couple of weeks ago in the evening. Now, if you're not benefited by communion, if you don't receive the spiritual benefit that comes from communion, then you will see no need for making communion once every week, as it should be. Because you're not benefiting by it in the times that you take it anyway. So why increase something that doesn't benefit you? Well, it's the same for the Sabbath. If you're not intimate with God, if you're not being drawn close to God today, yeah, you're not going to see any great need to keep it because it's not really of a great benefit to you. Now, you can let one here or there miss, let it go. Yeah, I can put God, you know, God's a good friend, and so I can just pass him over just this one time for somebody else. You know, something's wrong here, isn't it? In other words, God has been drawn down into a partnership, it appears, that's equal. Now, God is holy. We have a relationship with God who's holy, so far set apart from us. And so it takes us the first four to get us to understand it. Here's the first one. Here's how you get to understand the God that you're in relationship with. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of slavery. Romans 12. Consider the mercies of God. What type of God do we belong to? Well, Exodus is saying, and Paul's saying in Romans, the type of God that you belong to is one who puts his love for you at the very center of the relationship. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of sin and destruction. I am the Lord your God who has forgiven you. I am the Lord your God who's going to bring you into eternity with blessing and joy. I am the Lord your God. At the very center of the relationship is God's love for you. Everything that God does for you is motivated by his love for you. That's the type of God that's asking you to spend time or calling you to spend time with him this very day. I am the Lord your God. That's the type of God that you have a relationship. The one who puts love for you at the very center of the relationship. Not love for anything else or anyone else, any other creature. Doesn't love the lions more than you. Doesn't love the sea more than you, or the tree. No, you are the very prize of his creation. The very center of his relationship with you is his love for you. You're the very pinnacle. The second commandment. So don't make any idols. Don't go and spoil that relationship by loving something else. Don't go and ruin the relationship by trusting in someone else or desiring something else or putting your love into something other than the one true God. Are you breaking the law? Yeah, you're breaking the law, but you're damaging the relationship. That's the point that God is trying to make here. Now, there are a couple of ways of creating idols. I can guarantee that maybe some of you don't do it this way, but I can almost guarantee that we all do it at times the other way. Here's what I mean. You can make idols the moment you love something else or someone else more than God. The moment you've done that, you've created an idol. It could be your children. It could be your husband. It could be your job. It could be anything. The moment you love, desire, and trust or want something more than anything else in the world that's not God, you've created for yourself the idol. There it is. Maybe you've done that. So by simply loving something more than God, by simply trusting in something more than God, your heart has become an idol factory. Every day you go to work creating yourself a brand new idol because you're desiring something more than God. Do you think that's healthy for your relationship with God? Oh, well, is there another way? Yeah, there's another way of how to make idols, and that is, this is the more serious one. Well, actually, they're both serious, but this is the more subtle one, but incredibly serious. And that is, you can have false ideas about the one true God. And that is, you can actually come here this morning wanting to believe in the real God, but you have false ideas about God's. Perhaps even it's about God's grace. Well, God is graceful. He would allow that or do that. No, you've made for yourself an idol. Why? Because you've not understood the one true God. You are taking the one true God and reimagining him in your own image, in your own thoughts. So there are two ways to create idols. One, to love something else more than God. Two, to have your own version of the one true God. To have false beliefs concerning the one true God. That's idolatry. So here's the question. Does God let us get away with it? No. Never lets us get away with it. How long would you allow for a relationship that you're in, that you have noticed to be unfaithful on the other side, to actually get away with it? And not very long. Why? Because it damages you, it damages the relationship, it damages the other person. Well, can I be forgiven? Yeah, of course you can, because with God there's always forgiveness. God is the master of mending broken relationships, especially yours with him. So is it possible that we've made idols? Is it possible that we've... Yeah, of course it is. Is God going to forgive us? Of course he will. That's who God is. He is holy. Remember the first commandment? At the very center of his relationship with us is his love for us. So yeah, we may have wandered, but we're always going to be brought back. Why? Because love chases after the one that where it's placed. In other words, God is going to come and get you. Why? Because you're his. God is going to fight for you. Why? Because you're his. God is not going to allow your heart to be overtaken by something that can ultimately not just take you away from him, but just destroy you. Why? Because you're his. Remember the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. The very center of his relationship with you is the fact that he loves you. So don't go make any idols. Don't go loving something else. It's not good for the relationship. So thirdly, how are we to communicate with God? All relationships involve communication. Bad relationships involve no communication. A relationship going downhill is the one where communication begins to fail over time. How are we to speak about God? Well, don't take his name in vain. Third commandment. Don't speak about God in a way that doesn't address God as God. God is holy. Remember, God is holy in the sense that he's different from us. He's not like us. He is so far above us, so far beyond us. It's not an equal relationship that you have with God. God is not your equal. Is it a real relationship? Yeah, it's the relationship you have with God is super real. But is it equal? No, it's not equal for a moment. God is holy, gracious, wonderful. And he brings you into this relationship, making you what he is, holy, which you can only be by being in relationship with God. So don't go and take his name in vain. Well, what is vain? What is vanity? Well, vanity is meaninglessness. In other words, don't speak about God in meaningless ways. Don't bring God in on, say, perhaps a promise. Don't do that to God. God is, you know, do you remember there was a film once, and it was a film called Sister Act. At the very end, they've got this gospel choir competition. And they're all gospel choirs. And it's very interesting because one of them says, pray for God to be on our side. Well, it's a gospel choir. God's on everybody's side. That's the point. Don't think that God can be bent to your will. Don't take his name in vain. Don't speak about this in a meaningless way. God is holy. God is not meaningless and cannot be addressed in meaningless ways. Reverently. The fourth commandment then, at the very center of your relationship with God, is his love for you. Is God going to protect that relationship? Yeah. So he's going to destroy every idol you make. Is God going to want to talk with you and make sure that you... Yeah, don't take his name in vain. But is God going to want to spend time with you? Yeah, where does he do it? Here. He sets a whole day apart for you. He's made the day holy. Does God make demands upon our heart? Absolutely. Why does God make those demands upon our heart? Well, quite simply, because he wants to protect the relationship that he has with you. He doesn't want anything to spoil it. And this day, like any other day, is a day where you can just forget about everything else, if it is possible. And to say, Lord, help me. Help me understand the relationship that I have with you. Help me to be brought back in to the holiness that you have created for this day. Not only have you set me apart, you've made me holy. You set this day apart so that I can be holy with you in this day. In other words, everything's set apart for God this day. Is it difficult? Yeah. Is it demanding? Yeah. Why is it demanding? Because in your heart there is sin. You are going to want to do other things. You are going to want to sort of even walk out on this relationship at times. Even though God is gracious and he is loving, never underestimate the power of sin in your own life. Never underestimate just how evil temptation can be to take you away from the God who loves you. So is it demanding? Yes. But it's demanding in order to protect the relationship. So don't look at these commandments as an impersonal standard. Don't look at when you break a commandment as simply breaking the law. Is it that? Yeah, of course it's that. But it's actually the way that we become unfaithful within the relationship. That's what sin is, isn't it? Sin is me being unfaithful within my relationship with God. It's saying no to God. Is it breaking the law? Yeah, it's breaking the law, but it's saying no to God. It's a relationship issue. So what type of relationship is it then? Well, it's a holy one. Point number one, God's going to say, if you love me, it'll protect you. Why? Because when you love God first, you'll stay away from idols, you'll stay away from speaking in vain terms, and you're going to be able to spend time with God. Why? Well, just like you spend time with anyone that you love. Because you love them. It's not a chore. It's not difficult. Because you love. And that love is of first importance. That's what God is saying, that your love for me really does need to go before anyone else, which it does. You really need, you know, husbands and wives here this morning, do you need to love God more than your husband and wife? Yeah, absolutely you do. Parents, do you need to love your God before your children? Yep. Everybody, do you need to love God even more than yourself? Yes. You need to love God way more than yourself. I mean, isn't that what Jesus says? You know, don't fear him, you know, who can just sort of damage the body. But fear him who can throw both body and soul into hell. Okay, we're not dealing with a God with whom we can get away with things here. How many of us push our luck with God? Luck in a very loose term. It's a holy relationship. God's going to protect the relationship. So here's a question. How much room and attention do you give to God today? Or any day? Especially when God makes demands upon your heart. Simply because he loves you. Simply because he wants to protect the relationship. Here's another way of thinking about it, which I think this sort of touches on all of us here. It goes something like this. Think about it in terms of plans and desires, but not just from one point of view, as we normally do. Here's the question. For instance, what are my desires? Well, that's one way of finding out. By asking myself, what are my desires? What about this question? What are my plans? Well, what is my will? Well, they are ways of finding out about what I want. But let's turn it over. What about this question? What are God's plans for me? What is God's will for me? What is God's desire for me? You see, the trouble is with those questions is that they're still looking at the relationship from a one-sided point of view. They still concern me. Any of you who have ever been in a relationship will understand that there's a whole different set of questions that need to be asked, and it's these. What is God's will, period? What are God's plans, period? Why? Well, here's why. Because the moment you get into a relationship with somebody else who has their own will and has their own plans and has their own desires, we can end up in a place that we never thought we'd be. Why? Because their will has taken us there. Their plans have taken us there. See, so often we're concerned about what are my desires, or even what are God's desires for my life? What are God's plans for my life? It so much revolves around you. Now forget about you for a minute. What are God's will, period? What are God's plans, period? Because if I'm in a relationship with God, which I am, it matters, because God's will just might be to go over there, and if I'm in a relationship with him, guess who's going with him? Everyone in a relationship with God. That's why it matters. That's the type of relationship you have. Because God has plans and wills all of his own. So you end up in a place where you never thought you'd be, and you end up in a situation where you'd never thought of being. But there you are. Why? Because you're in a relationship with someone who has their own will, their own plan, and their own desires. It's a holy relationship. And therefore, you're caught up in someone else's will. The relationship is a holy one. It's one of purity. It's one of holiness. It's one where you are set apart. Set apart from the world, but you're set apart by being brought to God. So here's the exhortation. Whatever we love the most will direct our life. Period. Whatever we love the most will direct our life. But it's slightly more complicated than that. And here's why. Because when we love God, and God has made us his own, and we should love God first, and then we begin to love something else more than God, our life begins to take a different direction. And as I said before, God will not tolerate rivals. Perhaps you've never thought of God as a relationship breaker-upper, if there's ever such a word or phrase. But that's the business that God is in. How long do you think you can go on loving something else other than God and God not do something about it? Not long. God is going to bring you back to him. So understand the first four commandments in particular, that they are dealing with your relationship with God, just like the last six of the Ten Commandments deal with your relationship with everybody else. The first four are about how you relate to the holy God that you belong to. Don't think of them as an impersonal standard. Think of them as how you are to be faithful in the relationship you have with God. How you are to be faithful in your relationship with God is the first four. How you are to be faithful in your relationship with each other is the last six. Are they laws? Yeah. But look at them more carefully, and you'll see they're all about relationship. So how many of us actually look at the commandments as they should be understood? Perhaps not many. Perhaps not many. Think of it this way. I am the Lord your God. You've now been brought into a brand new relationship with God, and you need to get to know each other. But you're dealing with God, and so God knows everything. God knows what you think, what you dream about, what your desires are, what your will are. So this conversation is going to be somewhat one-sided, because God already knows everything about you. So God begins to speak, I am the Lord your God. I love you. Don't make idols. Don't take my name in vain. And let's spend time together on the Sabbath day. What is God doing? He's saying, look, I'm laying out how this relationship is going to work in the best possible ways that it can. This is who I am. This is what I like. This is what we'll do together. How many of us understand the first four commandments in those ways? Yeah, not many. They're laws, and they're Old Testament laws, so why bother with them? They're explaining the relationship that we have with God. So here's a final thought. The first four commandments, could they be the very thing in your relationship with God that you don't talk about? I mean, how is your relationship with God? And are the first four commandments the ones that, you know, we don't talk about that? Why? Well, every time we talk about that, we end up with an argument. Right. That tells me there's something wrong. And how many of us, in any kind of relationship, avoid talking about certain things because it leads to that argumentative end? How many of us are in a relationship where we long that the other person doesn't bring something up that we don't want brought up? How often does that happen? Well, here we are with God and we think, oh, Lord, I hope you don't bring it up. I mean, that's like telling the Lord, I hope you don't bring it up. Guess what? Take time. Take a lot of time to think about how God relates with his people. And what you'll find is at the center of the relationship is his love for you. Everything that he does, everything of his will is an act of love concerning you. So take time. Why? Why? Lest you forget the God who you belong to. Take time lest you forget the God who you are to worship. It's not like any other type of relationship. It's not an equal relationship. It doesn't work like other relationships. It requires different things. It sets demands upon your heart. You are set apart for God in a way that no other relationship can do that. So take time. Go away from here this morning remembering to take time. Take a lot of time in your relationship with God, lest you forget who you are to worship. Amen.